Well, it must be telepathy or something. Now we're into the second stage here with a discussant who will, I hope, suggest some comment by his comments, some issues which you may want to ask about. And I'll give him the floor in 2 seconds. I'm going to run on because we should be stopping about now for lunch, for your lunch break as well as ours. And I think we'll give it 10, 15 minutes, if you can bear with that and not too hungry. So our discussant is Mr. Hasan Yalçın, or is it Yalçın in Turkish? Yalçın, very Italiano. I give you the floor, and then we'll go for some questions.
Thanks, Mr. Ambassador, and I would also join others in thanking the Energy Charter Secretariat for organizing this set of meetings and inviting me as the discussant. Thanks to all speakers for their excellent presentations. All presentations introduced different perspectives on the current challenges. One point I should like to draw your attention is that though it's already known by you and repeated many times this morning, that the WTO has different rules for trading goods and trading services. And interestingly, transport versus transit is on the dividing line. So this makes this session special in that manner. The presentation addressed the existing legal portfolio and the current challenges, starting from legal ambiguities, insufficiency of maybe legal interpretation, and politics of energy trading and the related difficulties. And we also listened to Murray referring to ambiguities in GATS, Mr. Maxim Medvedev concluding as the exporter and producer of energy, the bilateral and regional agreements to be the best fit approach to overcome with the challenges. Luther made his personal remarks on the sufficiency of GATT Article 5 for energy transit, including pipelines. And Yulia introduced and updated us on Article 7. So I was thinking that 7 is greater than 5, so could it be the updated version in compared to GATT Article 5? On the one hand, we have the peculiarities of the energy sector, transit and transport of energy, and on the other, we have the multilateral trading system, that is to say different rules for trading goods and trading services, more detailed rules on imports than exports, limits addressing the anti-competitive practices, and limited framework for providing the trade of energy goods and services altogether provokes many questions. The challenges with respect to freedom of transit to some extent are reflected in the trade facilitation negotiations that I would like to touch on briefly. The mandate of the negotiations, among others, comprehends the review and, as appropriate, clarify and improve relevant aspect of GATT Article 5. Here I would like to refer one of the article put forward by Luther, that he named GATT Article 5 as sleeping beauty of the multilateral trading system, which I rightfully share his view. And I think after this session, he will be writing on another article like the energy transit, the White Horse Prince. One of the biggest debates in the freedom of transit negotiations are focused on the scope where the conflict and concern arises on the proposal to include fixed infrastructure with explicit reference to pipelines and electricity grids. Members do not question whether the GATT provisions apply to energy products or not. In principle, the trade of energy products, such as oil and natural gas between the WTO members, is subject to GATT provisions. Nevertheless, this has been confirmed by some panel and appellate body findings and rulings either in GATT and WTO times. The problem is expressed to be the fact that GATT provisions are not designed to deal with the energy sector, which is repeated many times today. Members also in the negotiations refer to existence of international conventions specifically dealing with the energy transit via pipelines and grids, and these were concluded before the starting of GATT negotiations. Therefore, the fixed infrastructure was not unknown to negotiators, but they preferred to use the term traffic in transit, having only the moving vehicles in their mind. Also, many members do not characterize the pipelines as a means of transport within the meaning of GATT Article 5, because in that provision, means of transport is defined as something that begins and terminates its journey beyond the territory of the transiting member. The disciplines of GATT Article 5 applies to means of transport that are themselves in transit. In the negotiations, there is also a proposal foreseeing that in no circumstances freedom of transit necessitates to build or permit the building of infrastructure of any kind in one member's territory, and provide access to existing capacity only in circumstances that the infrastructure is open to general use by the third parties. The discussions are still going on and probably consumed at the technical level to be carried out at the political level. And that is going to be the remarks I'm going to make on the TF facilitation with respect to transit issue. And as conclusion, the question still remains the same. Do we need energy-specific rules on transit and transport also? If yes, is the WTO right platform to tailor such rules? Thank you, Mr. Ambassador.
Thank you very much. Well, we still have, because I'm running on, we still have 5 or 10 minutes, so let's start with 2 or 3 questions. If I find you're still not hungry, and if there are no questions, then I will conclude that you are hungry. One question from a non-hungry man. Thank you.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but okay. Lorde van den Hande, Herbersmith, Freehills. A question to Mr. Ehring, and I have lots of questions, but we're limited to one. You have made a very interesting explanation of Article 5. Just to be absolutely clear, does Article 5, in your view, is that really limited to transit? To transit via another country, or does it also cover transport in some way? Because in the whole discussion, I'm starting to be a bit confused. What exactly is transit? What exactly is transport? To give you one example, take the Nord Stream pipeline, which goes directly from Russia to Germany through the Baltic Sea. Is that transit or not? If it is not, if it's not covered by Article 5 because it goes direct, is Article 5 really a sleeping beauty? Because it's not going to be of great use, I would think, in most cases.
Yeah, I can answer that very shortly. You have correctly understood. There has to be a transit country, transit territory involved. If you reach the destination country from the origin country via the high seas, which is not the territory of any other country or WTO member, more precisely, this is not transit. You have importation, exportation, but you don't have transit. So it depends on where the pipeline exactly leaves the Russian territory and whether it crosses any other territory. But here we have maybe minute questions of territoriality involved, not controversial ones, but legal ones, namely the difference between territorial waters, the 12 miles, and the 200 miles economic zone, because in the Baltic Sea is not so broad that there is any zone in the middle that is not economic zone of anybody. And that is why the permits and so on are required. But in international law, traditionally, up until I studied it some time ago, increasing time ago, economic zone outside of the territorial waters was not part of the territory. And then it would also not be transit. When I said Article 5 is a sleeping beauty, that was before this panel on Colombia's case. So now we should call it an awoken beauty.
All right. Any more? Yes, I see one far back at the right. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nikolai Mizulin, a trade lawyer. A question to continue with the Sleeping Beauty, in fact. If things are then as clear as they are today on the scope of GATT Article 5 and on the obligation which is in there, as far as the freedom of transit is concerned, why would you then still insist on negotiating on this very clear subject within the trade facilitation talks? Because, okay, I understand you would call it a confirmation or a confirmation or rare confirmation of the beauty of the Sleeping Beauty, but that is still a negotiation, and a failure of such negotiation may obviously have as its risk an acknowledgement that Article 5 precisely does not apply to the fixed infrastructure, because as we all know, if that happens, then the DSB will not be in the position to add or diminish the rights to the members. That's a question obviously destined to the author of the Sleeping Beauty concept, but I obviously invite everyone to comment on it as well. Thank you.
Okay, well, I don't think anything is clear about Article 5, because what we're hearing is different interpretations of it from very authoritative people. And until you go to the panel and the appellate body, you won't be getting clarity. That's probably the first answer. But I pass it on to the author and inventor. No, well, not in the inventor of the Sleeping Beauty. Off we go.
It's a valid question whenever you have negotiations and somebody proposing something, because negotiations are treaty making. Treaty making is legislative activity to modify the law, at least by adding rules. Of course, it's a valid question to ask, is this new only in form or is it new also in substance? And given the costs in resources of negotiations, as everybody in this room knows, normally you should go for new rules only if they are needed and not if they say something that is already said elsewhere. However, there can be situations where there is controversy, where there is disagreement, or lacking precision, and there you can merge the two worlds and add clarity, legal certainty, even if you don't add anything in substance. And the negotiating mandate, I think, speaks of also clarifications and improvements. So that too covers both. And in that way, you can therefore politically, by treaty making, resolve the issue, even if we would say that certainly the coverage already exists, but the TF texts, as you know, are also much longer, so there's clearly, at least in terms of precision and detail, a lot that is being added there. And inter alia, there's also a national treatment provision on the table, which is clearly an addition, amongst other things.
I think lunch is calling, because we're going to start again at 2 o'clock?
At 3.
Oh, 3 o'clock.
To be short.
All right. You do get a little time for lunch. Now, I'm asked to ask all of the speakers, those up here and those in the hall, to come up to the podium so that we can tell you where you're having lunch, because we're having lunch with you. And I'm going to suspend the meeting now till 3 o'clock. Bang. Thank you very much.